Mr. Arthur Thompson, Reel 2. Now, who does the marketing in your family?
My youngest brother. He was a bit darker than the two of us. And my mother, he would go around, go to the bakery, buy a queue up for bread at the bakery, and then he'd go to the shop maybe and get some groceries. And on one occasion, I remember my mother and my brother, they heard of some tin provisions that was being sold in Changi. So to avoid going on the main road, they had a trek through a secondary jungle and the hill, climb, walk over the top of the hill and down the other side of the road, and got some tin stuff. And while they were there, my brother told us that the Japanese truck passed by, a couple of soldiers in the truck, and they threw some money in Singapore currency printed by a Japanese, known as Singapore is known as Shonen To, and he brought this, he picked up from the road some of the Japanese money, 20 cent pieces, $1 pieces, $1 notes, all notes, what, 20 cents and $1 notes, and he brought home. And that's the first time we've seen what Japanese currency looked like, in our Singapore notes and Japanese printed by Japanese military. Banana notes, they call them, because they had the banana tree. I remember seeing the banana tree and the bananas hanging out, bunch of bananas in the tree. That was the picture on the notes.
Now, during this point of time, does any of your family members work?
Yeah. Work, well, my mother didn't want us to go out and work because we heard the stories of people, boys, young men who went out to work, and sometimes they were taken and on forced labor. They were taken to Malaysia, maybe to Thailand, or they were brought to Indonesia as forced labor. And this really happened, because people who went to the picture show, like the Alhambra Theater and the Beach Road, as soon as the picture show was over and they got out, they were all herded into trucks and taken away. So we had to survive without any of us having to go to work. And by so doing, what she did was she had a part of jewelry, expensive linen like we had, tablecloths, curtains and things like that, which fetched good money. Those who made had the money to buy, we sold it. And we sold her jewelry and lived on that money.
Besides that, what about the changes that you can observe for Singapore?
Well, the changes, and the Japs told the people that the British had fallen there and they'll never come back. So don't worry about the don't think about the British anymore. So carry on your work as usual, no? And those who were working in the with the PUB, well, they go back to PUB, City Hall, they call it City Council, I'm sorry. And those with the PWD went back to their work. And they had some jobs which they offered the people, laborers, laborers, some of them work, and those who worked as on the clerical line went back to their usual offices, like the city council, city hall, they call it city hall. They had the light and water bills had to be paid. Well, as usual, the people who worked who were there before they went back.
Yeah, you were talking about PUB. What about the water system and the electricity?
Electricity went on as usual, and someone, I suppose, must have carried on the power station going. But water supply, that was cut off for a few days. And before the Japs landed, we were told to depend on wells. Those who had wells, draw the water off from wells. We knew where we lived, the Chinese millionaires, staying there, they had wells, two wells in the house, but they were very, very dirty, the water was. So we stored up some water. And when the first supply of water came, it was very, very dirty, and we had to boil the water before drinking, because we heard a lot of the dead soldiers and civilians, the bodies were found around, Makuchi Reservoir, and that's why the water was very dirty. And we had to boil the water for safety. before drinking that water.
Has this form of system went on for a long time?
Yeah, my mother boiled water even up to today. That's funny. She boils the water before drinking. She's got that habit.
Then what about sanitation?
Well, sanitation, as I told you, the things were all upside down when the Japs first landed in Singapore. There were no rice soil wasn't removed. And what they did was they got British and Australian prisoners of war to remove the rice soil in town, you know, in places like that. You've seen them doing that, prisoners of war. And in my place, of course, we were in the rural area, we were the best of the lot. Very, very fortunate, must say, that we had the contractor to remove the rice soil. And we had to pay him, you know. And we knew this chap very well, too. He used to get us sometimes black market rice and all that sort of thing. Help us.
Do you know where they dumped the night soil?
Well, the night soil was taken for, you know, these vegetable gardeners who planted vegetables. And they had to plant through tapioca, sweet potatoes and vegetables. We were depending on that. And that was a source of income for these people who could plant and use the nice soil as manure.
Now, what kind of sanitation system did you all make use of?
What do you mean by?
Is it the bucket system?
At that time there was flush. You know, there wasn't any flush. We didn't have the flushing pan at that time in my area where I stayed. We had the bucket. The night soil man had to come every day and clear the bucket. And being a rural area, only the city area and the, what do you call it, city council, city area, they had, of course, the modern sanitation.
Was there any rationing of water and electricity?
There was no rationing. Neither was there rationing in electricity. We could use electricity and water. Of course, the bills came as usual. Later, when things got running, we had to pay our usual fees, you know. And the meter readers came around. The people went back to their usual jobs. Mm. And, of course, they had staff working in the city council. They call it city council, city hall. Singapore municipality at that time is known. And one thing I want to tell you about is this. They got some Europeans who were working in these different places, because they had the experience, you see, and they needed them to carry on the administration. So they brought them out of camp from Changi, and they sent them back in the evening to work, you know, and then paid them, I suppose, the salary of Japanese money they had. So these Europeans who were experienced, who were working in the different places, different jobs, to assist them, because Japanese themselves weren't experienced in that sort of thing. These military people, so they went to Changi and they asked these Europeans who were before working in the city hall, working in the PWD, to come and assist them.
Were there any other nationalities involved in the Japanese administration?
The Japanese administration, well, some are local people, Chinese or Malays or Indians. Those who had experience who were working in their former jobs, they went back. And the police, of course, we had some Malay policemen who went back to the police force. You know, they were policemen, they went back. Like those who were in the fire brigade, of course, went back. There were no fires and there wasn't necessary for a fire. I don't know whether the fire brigade was functioning then. I told you these people went back to different jobs. And the meter readers, of course, went back to the municipality, to the city council, and went out reading meters, electric and water meters, that did their job.
Mm. How was law and order enforced?
Oh, they were very strict. No one dared to steal or do anything out of the way, because they were being punished and most probably would have had their heads chopped off. And I suppose you might have heard about the YMCA torture chambers, people who were taken to YMCA. You know what, Young Men's Christian, that's in Orchard Road, you know, YMCA, or police station, they call it YMCA.
Yeah, can you please elaborate more about this incident, about the YMCA
torture? YMCA, many of these people were, you see, the thing is that they talked about against the Japanese, or they, let's say, what do you call it, felt towards the Americans or British, or trying to spy, trying to help the soldiers, and maybe, you see, and they thought that they were people who had something to do with spy work during the, they were taken in question. And sometimes someone will just say that this person said this and said that, and then they believed him and brought him in, and they weren't satisfied with the answers you gave. They tortured these people. Many of them died in the course of the torture. There was a water treatment, very famous in the Japanese military here. They call it the Kempeitai. Kempeitai?
Can you describe more about this this form of torture, water treatment?
As I say, Kempeitai, military police, that's an English translation. They were very cruel. They'll pump water, well, through the mouth, you know. And this man had to swallow water, and his stomach became very big, bloated up, you can see his head. And they put a plank on his stomach and start jumping, and the water is coming out of his mouth and all that. You know what I mean? Mm. And that's what they know as water treatment. I know a friend of mine had a water treatment. He had to go and see doctors after that for treatment, and he couldn't take anything cold, any cold drinks, everything had to look warm, everything had to be hot. That's one thing.
Yeah.
And then again, there were people who had needles poked under their fingernails, you know, pushing their fingernails, under their fingernails, you know. Those who did something wrong with their hands exfoliated. That's one thing again. And there are many forms of it. And he had a pencil put in the ear, and then hammered the pencil right in the ear. That's some of the treatment they had at the YMCA, the tortures, what they call it, by the Japanese military police, Kempeitai.
How do you know about these tortures that are going on?
Well, we are told about these people who went there and told us. Sometimes at the police station, we hear a man crying, you know. And one instance, a chap was tied behind the car, and the car drove on the road, and he was dragged on the road that way. His leg was tied behind the car. And he drove off with the man behind it being pulled along.
When a person just walk along the road, can you see a lot of policemen around guarding
police,
the street?
No, hardly any. Our local police did not do much. We didn't see. We see the Japanese military, in the different places where there were Japanese establishments, not Japanese military establishments, there were guards, Japanese guards standing outside the gate. See who goes in and who goes out, and he had certain passes were issued to get inside there to work, you know. And when you pass the guard, you had to bow to him. If you didn't bow, you might have got a slap on the face.
Besides observing certain changes with regards to administration, are there any other kinds of changes that you observe for Singapore as a whole?
Well, not many changes. You can see that they had they issued their papers, Shonen Shinbun, as I said, and the whole propaganda paper doesn't give you the true facts. The war, you know, in the Pacific, whatever kind of places they lost. I mean, as time went on, they were losing them, and we knew that because we had some Chinese, especially, who were underground people. They call it. No, they had these wireless sets dug in the ground, and they were taking a big risk, of course, for getting news coming from outside. They would pass the news on slowly, and it will reach us sometimes, you know. We will get news about what's happening. Of course, their papers are all propaganda, as I said. You can't believe everything you read in the Shonen Shimbun. That's a small paper, like the New Nation size, you know, in those days. That's the Japanese papers.
Do you know who took charge of the newspaper?
Well, Japs were printing, and they got some local people, those who were working, as I said, those who worked in the space time, they called them back and asked them to come. They went back to their place of work. Understand? The space time's office carried on with Japanese papers that are being printed instead of the Singapore space times.
Have you seen such newspaper before?
Yes, we had copies of them. As a matter of fact, this will interest you. I had a cousin of mine who kept every paper the Japanese printed right through the occupation to show to the British when they came back. He kept every issue every day for 3.5 years. My cousin, he did it.
Can you remember what sort of articles do they have in the papers?
Well, they had in the papers certain places that won battles were fought, like in Midway Island. Sometimes they will leak out a little bit of news, say they lost the fight in Marshall Islands, Solomon Islands, the fighting going on there. A little bit we can read in the papers, read between the lines. And Guadalcanal, place like Guadalcanal, New Guinea, they're fighting very heavy battles. We get a little bit of news trickling through. And they talk about reforms, certain rules to be observed in Singapore. You know what I mean? And some little bit of advertisement maybe. Not much of it. I can remember that.
Now, was the newspaper only to publish as a means to communicate with the people politically, or were there other interesting articles, like other interesting social articles?
Well, I don't know. They were trying to say that the British people had suppressed the local people here. As you know, it's because of the World War II, Pacific War, and many of these people had independence after that. You know, this is the Japs who started this business by telling the people, you should fight and not allow the British to come and take your country. We will help you. We will help you to get independence. That's what their idea was, to give us independence. They were going to sort of give us our freedom. But it wasn't very much of a freedom when you come and think of it, you know. We couldn't travel anywhere we wanted to. And there were some restrictions also.
What kind of restrictions are you talking about?
I don't
about?
Think it restrictions. None of us could leave Singapore. We were scared also anything could happen. Those who stayed here stayed here all the while. There were no planes or ships or trains that move around and you could go from here to Kuala Lumpur or travel from here to Indonesia or whatever it is. Only Japanese military moved up and down there. So.
But were people given the right to celebrate their festive occasions?
No, that was done very quietly. When all Christmas came, we knew we had Christmas. And another thing also, there were no calendars in those days to know the date. So I had to make my own calendar. I was quite good at drawing, so I used to make for myself and I made for two or three people living around the area there. I'd made my own calendar for the whole year. Drew and painted and everything myself.
Were there freedom of worship?
Yeah, worship was okay. We could go to church. The Catholics were allowed to go to church, Christians and so on, whatever church. They allowed them to. And I remember once the Japanese remarked about the people in Singapore. Their observations was like this. The Chinese, very hardworking, black marketeers. Black market. Indians, they said, were all the time thinking of politics. Indians are very, very politically minded. Malays, lazy days. They don't want to work hard. And Eurasians will go to church every Sunday and pray for the British to come back. That's exactly what they said.
That is very amusing. Mm. Can you just tell us more about what you do in church?
Well, in church, we were scared. The priest, mind you, who gives the sermons, he couldn't mention anything about the war or things like that because he could be arrested. And that's another thing I want to tell you. Whatever you said, you'd be very careful. Because if you said something that was not in there in good taste and for the Japs were concerned, you could be taken in. So we were everything hush hush, you know. And you had to trust the person you're talking to. He might be a spy for the Japs. And the next thing you know is they'll come over and pick you up and take you to YMCA. And you get tortured.
And which church do you go to during that time?
That Holy Family Church. We had the European priests were taken in, you know, because the Europeans, Redemptorist priests were taken away in turn. So local priests, Eurasian priests, local Eurasian or Chinese or Indian priests, they were all right. They carried on the services.
Now coming back to celebrating festive occasions, like for example, Christmas. How do you celebrate them in your family?
In my family, what we did was this. We couldn't get any, there was chicken or beef, mutton, turkey and things like that. The best thing we did for Christmas, I remember this, I learned cooking also during my time when I was free at that time, you know. My mother taught me how to cook. That's why I'm a very good cook today. And I used to get where we can get rice is okay. We make this Malay rice in bags, they call ketupat. And we did that. Then we made some sambals. And we made just like a Malay hari raya, you know. We could get a little bit of fish and coconut, make coconut sambal maybe. And that was our food for Christmas. That was an extra, like, you know, we could get coconuts, was all right. We could get chilies, and we had some seaweed from the sea. We made some sambal with that. We get the prawns were expensive. We could get prawns. We used dried prawns, and some vegetables cooked with coconut milk. There was no meat then in those days. You see, chicken. Well, if you were fortunate enough to raise some fowls, poultry, you can get the chicken maybe. That's about all. No meat, no beef or no mutton. Beef once in a while, very scarce, and that was ration. It did serve.
Now, do people visit one another?
Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, we were scared to visit them. They're only neighbors. If we see another friend who's a Christian, we might wish him. We go to church service. People were very sad then. That's one thing about it. There was no jubilation, you know. The festive season, same thing with Chinese New Year, no one fired any crackers, and very quiet. So you only celebrate amongst your family in the home. You won't move around and like you did in those in the good, you know, after the war.
Do people regard going to church as a form of for social fellowship?
Well, they went to church to pray, one thing, that the war will end. That was the main purpose of them going to church, to pray at the British. The Japanese authorities knew that. As I told you, they said our people were praying for the British to come back, they knew.
But do they use the church as a meeting place to visit one another?
Well, not exactly. If you visit somebody at church, we won't stay too much, too long, and we have a big congregation for fear these military men see us and say, what's going on, you know. After the service, everybody will say, talk a little while maybe, and then go back to their respective homes. It's very quiet.
Now, you did mention that the newspaper was a form of communication.
Yeah.
Now, what other form of mass media?
Radio, maybe. Some news will come through in the radio.
Do you get to hear other stations?
Well, one more thing I'll tell you. School also went on, and they were teaching Japanese. If you wanted to learn Japanese, you know, they taught, tried to teach Japanese. School was, was very poor, not very much of a schooling then. During Japanese occupation, if you wanted to learn Japanese, you could. That's all later stage, you know, later on. When I started school going, but my brother and myself, we never went back to school.
Yeah, you did mention about the radio. Is it local or can you still...
Oh, the radio was only local. Because they haven't drowned, no? Sealing the radios, everybody's radio. That was published in the papers. And when anybody caught, they always make a decree like that. You'll be severely punished. Well, you could get your head chopped off one way. They think you're a spy. That's true.
Yeah, but... Can your radio receive outside
news
station?
From outside station, no. Up to once they sealed it. They sealed all the radios. People had to take their radios to the police station. I remember this very well. They came either came to your house, or if not, you go to the police station, respective police station, have your radio sealed. Radio sets.
How do
only
they?
You only can listen to the local news, Singapore news as well, and you can't get any other stations.
Can you just elaborate more, you know, on how they seal the radio so as to prevent people from listening outside?
Well, they fix the station, the fixed station on Singapore, and seal it with paper. And if you break that paper, it means you've broken the seal, you see. That's one way. That's what they did to our radio, I see. The others, I don't know how they sealed it, maybe by other ways, but this is one way, by putting tape over it, over the knob, you know, that you tune in, a tuning knob. So you couldn't, if you had to tear that paper in order to turn.
Can you tell me some of the other changes made also?
Well, that's what changes. Well, as I told you, as we went along with some rations now and again, where they couldn't queue up, and that was terrible because you had to go very, very early, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, in order to queue up to be in, like, if you're late in the queue, you might not get anything. You see what I mean? If you're first in the queue, you're sure of getting something. At least you're not too far off, you know. People go from there that night, the previous night, to sleep there. Kyun Sing Road, I remember, the crowds of people there the previous night, and we went very early in the morning. There was already a long queue. Right up to the end of Joo Chiat Road almost, you know, from Kyun Sing Road, that is, you know, where Joo Chiat Place. And I remember that, my mother and myself, we were going to queue up for rations. Tapioca, soap, and that's all you could get. Oil, we get oil too, that's like palm oil. We queue up for palm oil, bring empty bottles along. Depending on how many people in the family, when you got a card, ration card is issued to you.
Now, has all this food rationing done by the Japanese?
Well, Japanese and local people together. Japanese local administrators. You see, the military, they came to Singapore after they captured this place. They brought in their local administrators. They had no uniform. Yeah. As I mentioned, Kyun Sing Road, I should say Kyun Sing School, Kyun Sing Road School. That's one center where we got our rations, tapioca, soap. We bought the ashes to ash to in exchange for the soap. We don't bring any ash, you won't get soap. They will weigh, see, 2-3 catties of ash, how many catties, depending on how much ration you can get. Then we had tapioca, oil, palm oil, and sweet potatoes maybe. That doesn't last you very long, but at least there's some help. And it's cheaper than you buy from the back market. If you buy outside, it's very expensive. Other places, other centers would be like Katong Market and the Siglap Market. We get, you know, news that they're going to distribute. That'll come in the papers, Japanese papers. You know, the Aosion and Shimbun mentioned that these are centers where we collect our rations. Of course, rice was very, very hard to get in those days. Rice is very difficult. And those who had rice were sold in the black market, very expensive. If you wanted to buy rice, you had to buy it through the black market, and that was pretty expensive.